I'm Chris DeRitas. You are with KCRW, KCRW.com. Up next, we bring you the U.S. radio performance debut of singer-songwriter Michael Kiwanuka. Michael's released two EPs to date, both of which have generated a lot of enthusiasm from all of us here at KCRW. There's a new EP due January 1st called The Home Again EP, and there's an album, his first full-length, due March 27th. It's also called Home Again, which will be released here in the States on Interscope Records. We'll be talking with Michael momentarily, but right now we're pleased to present Michael Kiwanuka in live performance on KCRW.
I'll always hear. Tell me a story that I can read. Tell me a story that I believe. Paint me a picture that I can see. Give me a touch that I can feel. Around so I can be everything I was meant to be. Lord, I need loving. Lord, I need good, good loving. Lord, I need loving. Lord, I need good, good loving. Good loving. mind. I didn't know what it means to believe. Oh my, I didn't know what it means to believe. But if I hold on tight, is it true? Would you take care of all that I do? Oh Lord, I'm getting ready. I didn't know how hard it would be. Oh my, I didn't know how hard it would be. But if I hold on tight, is it true? Would you take care of all that I do? Oh Lord, I'm getting ready. Then we'll be waving hands, singing freely, singing standing toes, now coming easy. Oh, no more looking down, honey, can't you see me? Oh, Lord, I'm getting ready to believe. Oh, then we'll be waving hands, singing freely, singing standing toes, now coming easy. Oh, no more looking down, honey, can't you see me? Oh Lord, I'm getting ready. Oh Lord, I'm getting ready. Oh Lord, I'm getting ready.
Couple of songs from Michael Kiwanuka in live performance here on KCRW. I'm Chris Doritas. Very pleased to have with us in the studio Michael Kiwanuka. Welcome.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me in.
So good to have you here. It's very exciting for us to have you here. I should also point out we have joining you on bass in the studio is Peter Randall.
Hello.
Bass work and backup vocals. Mm. Now, these two tracks are part of a couple of EPs that you've put out in the last several months. Mm. One that came out in April of 2011, right. Tell Me a Tale.
That's right, yep.
And I'm Getting Ready. The second song that we heard is from the EP of the same name, which came out this past August.
Yeah.
I should point out to the audience that you've been in the U.S. this past week for a couple of dates in L.A., a stop in New York for what turned out to be standing room only shows, sold out shows.
Yeah.
All on the strength of these two EPs. There's not even an album at this point.
Yeah, all of it's mind-blowing, and even just being in the US, I've never been to the US before. This is my first time. So to go, and obviously so much of my music's influenced by American music, so to be able to come over to full stop is great, and then to be able to come over to play music's great, and then on a third whammy to play shows that sold out as well is even more exciting for me. So yeah, my mind's well and truly blown, but I love it.
And this is your first time on the radio in the US.
It's first time on the radio in the US, so everything's really exciting. It's great. It's a real honor.
Well, it's an honor for us as well, and consequently we don't know a lot about you. So hopefully we'll get a sense of who you are and where you came from, because it seems like for us it was just one of these out of nowhere comes this this really powerful thing that you're doing.
Mm.
So are you actually from London originally?
Yeah, I was born in North London, grew up in a town called Muswell Hill, which is in North London. Pretty much lived there until about a year ago. My parents are Ugandan, so but they were here before my brother and I were born. I've got one brother.
Mm.
And we basically English dudes with Ugandan parents and cousins and stuff. But Muswell Hill is pretty important as well, in terms of that's where really I heard most of the popular music that's influenced my music and got me into playing guitar and stuff. So And then hopefully the kind of Ugandan heritage brings the feel, a different feel to it too. So
your parents are actually originally from Uganda.
That's right, yeah. So they were born out in Uganda and they came over to the UK in the 70s. Hmm. And then they met here in, they met in London. And then had my brother and I, and then we grew up there. But we're like first generation English, so we've still got a lot of, like, my grandma's still alive in Uganda and loads of cousins over there and uncles and stuff. So we go fairly regularly. I haven't been for a little while, but we go and we've been a few times.
So you have been there a few times.
Yeah, huh. Yeah. So it's cool. It's good. So I've got, like, kind of those two influences. I'm very Maswahilian, very English, but then also very Ugandan at the same time. So it's cool.
And growing up, was there music in the house from your parents?
That's the thing. There would have been. My dad's a big, like, kind of Frank Sinatra, Nat King Cole fan. So he had loads of those records, and my mum is into, like, John Lennon, massive John Lennon fan, big Beatles fan, and, like, Elton John fan. But because, you know, that music was massive. Even in Uganda, that was played loads. I mean, they got the songs, like, 3 years late, so if, like, Rubber Soul came out 5 years later, it come out in Uganda, but they still got it. But my brother and I, we broke, like, the vinyl player when we were quite young, so the records were there, but we couldn't listen to them. So there wasn't actually that much music being played in the house until I got into secondary school, like 12, when people's friends would like send CDs over, would borrow CDs. And
wait, you said the record player was broken?
Yeah, we broke it. From what I remember, I don't know exactly what happened, but I remember we were kind of tussling a bit, and I think my brother's head like hit one of the things. It's quite an old, cheap record player, so that broke. And they love listening to music, but that wasn't high on the priority list of, like, getting a new vinyl player, and other stuff was more important. So, you know, they were pretty annoyed, but they didn't get a new one. So there wasn't much music to listen to in the house until we got a CD player. And that's where the kind of Maswahili influence came in, because we just borrowed CDs and stuff from friends. And then after that, friends' parents and stuff. And then when I got into listening to music properly, they could see my dad was like, oh, you know, like, he thought I would have no interest in a lot of the music or my mum that they listened to, but I began to develop that, and then out of the woodwork came all these records. So, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
And your earliest memories of music then, I guess, were from that record player, I suppose.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I don't remember hearing any records from there that much. I do remember, like, they played, like, if, like, aunties and stuff came, they'll play, like, bands from Uganda. There's a band called Afrigo. But we just thought that was, like, the most uncool thing in the world. So we didn't really...
Of course.
Every time it came on, it's like we didn't, you know, we weren't the happiest bunch. But I remember that from really young. That's, like, probably my earliest memory. Hmm. And then, but the earliest one where I started to really get affected by music, listen to music, and then deciding I wanted to play it was about 12, 13.
Hmm. And what was that?
And that was, again, that was more influence from friends. So it was a guitar band. So, like, a friend had a... like an Ivana CD, and I borrowed that, and everyone's listening to it, so it was also a thing to fit in. It's like, well, everyone's listening to that, I better listen to Nirvana. But I liked music, and people were playing guitar, so my mum wanted me to play an instrument, and previously I played violin, but I didn't practice, so she was up for, so when she heard that I wanted to get a guitar, she was happy, so I got a guitar around that time.
Around
12, yeah. So, and it was guitar. The reason why I got guitar was the guitar bands like Nirvana, and then like English Britpop stuff like Oasis was, you couldn't really escape at that time, and like Blur and those bands like The Verve. And that's why I got a guitar. And then it wasn't till later on, a few years later, where I discovered like folk music and soul music and blues and stuff and jazz. That was a bit later, but that's when I heard that, that's when I really thought music's cool. I wanna check this stuff out and try and explore and be a musician.
And who were some of those first sort of turning point musicians for you?
Mm. The first one really for me was Otis Redding song, and it was his voice and the song simultaneously that kind of got me. I got a Cover Mount CD from this English British magazine. A friend had bought one, so I bought one, and it had all these rare soul things.
Like a Mojo compilation.
Yeah, it was Mojo. Yeah, it was Mojo magazine in there, and there was no. Cinder on Dockaway isn't rare, but they had like an alternate take of it, and that was pretty important in a sense, because at that point I didn't really understand how music was recorded. So So I hear this song for the first time and I hear like this soul singer and this raw sound of instruments. I thought this is really exciting. But then you also hear at the beginning of the track, you hear all the sound guys and the engineers and stuff kind of speaking in before Otis Redding comes in to start singing. So you hear some laughing, you hear you ready, you can hear like the clunking of like sticks and people walking around the studio. And it felt like I was getting like a, you know, being that young, your imagination's huge. So I could literally see a studio in my head and thought, this is really cool. And then the music came in. So it was like double fold. I was like, oh, I want to be a musician as well as a music listener. And that song was great. The singing was great. There was a lot of acoustic guitar.
What was the song again?
Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
Oh, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
Yeah, so it's a famous one, but it was like an alternate take. So there was no electric guitar at that point. It was just acoustic guitar, drums, bass, and some horns. And you hear them laughing at the start. And he kind of whistles at the end and gets a bit wrong. And so you get to hear them talking and stuff. It's just great. It's just like, for me, that was like incredible. So that was a real, real big turning point.
It's almost as if you were in the studio with Otis Redding,
yeah,
doing Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
Yeah, it was like that, and I was already beginning to like love playing guitar and stuff. So this just kind of made me go mad. I thought, I really want to do this. I really want to do this music stuff. It sounds so cool, and it was like I had an insight to what was going on in the studio. So that track specifically, and that cover mount CD and that thing was probably the biggest turning point. That's probably why I'm sitting here playing. I'm still trying to find that studio or that sound or that same feeling from the song that I got.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk a bit more about finding that sound and putting that sound onto record, which you're still in the process of doing.
Yeah.
In just a moment, but maybe we'll get back to some music here.
Yep.
Michael Kiwanuka is in the studio here at KCRW. I'm Chris DeRitas, and we're getting a live in-studio performance. There are a couple EPs that you can actually find online at this point. One is called I'm Getting Ready. The other is Tell Me a Tale. And there is an album that's coming March 27th, 2012. And there's another EP that's going to be out in January 1st.
That's right.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's right.
What's this next song?
This song was also in the second EP, but I never really get a chance to. I mean, I play it at gigs, obviously, but I never really get a chance to kind of play it out for these kind of things, because we usually only get like two or three songs. But a song I like is called Any Day Will Do Fine, and you can get it. It's for the online, but that's it.
Excellent. It's Michael Kiwanuka live in the studio, KCRW.
Hey, listen, God, can I get along with you? I'm in need of your time. Any day would do fine. Hey, listen, God, an hour or two will do. Just be gentle and kind. You really be easing my mind. My trouble upon ya, there where you lay. But they'll never know, for I'll never show. Your time will afford you, my custom will pay. Ooh. But they'll never know, for I'll never show. Hey, listen, God, after this song is I'll be changing my ways. Lord knows I've seen better days. Hey, listen, God, forgive me if I seem rude. Now your dues have been paid through this mess that we made. My trouble upon ya, there where you lay. But they'll never know, for
is your home, and your time will afford you, and my custom will pay. Ooh, but they'll never know, for I'll never show home. Leave me, you'll always be part of the person I'll be.
That is Michael Kiwanuka in live performance here on KCRW, his U.S. radio performance debut. Michael's been in town this past week in Los Angeles and in New York for standing room only shows, sold out shows, all on the strength of two EPs that have earned him fans day by day. And one of those fans is Adele, who was taking you on the road for a lengthy tour that was cut short.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, we did... Well, it was kind of two separate tours, but they were both fairly lengthy. The first one was Europe and UK. That was like 20 dates a month out on the road, which was incredible. I'm a fan of her music, and her voice is fantastic. So when I found out that we were able to go and support her on the road, it was a real treat, real amazing experience and an exciting feeling. Yeah. And then it was just good to see how her music's affected all the audiences that came each night, and that people were really took in real music, like real singing, like heartfelt real music. It was just exciting to see, as like a music fan as well, that it still carries, and in her case it's carried tenfold. I mean, she's severely successful, so I would say. So that was really exciting. And then I learned loads on the road as well, just watching her perform and having to gig night in, every night. And I met Pete just previously before, so we got a lot of playing hours in and woodshedding in, as they say. So it was great for me as a guitar player, singer, and a gigging musician. I just learned masses and masses having to play before someone so good. It's quite a test. So definitely, I think, brought me up a few gears in terms of learning how to do this thing. So it was great.
How did that call come in?
I don't know completely, but I think, I'd met her manager before previously, and I think he was kind of aware of the music. So when, obviously when the tour was about to go out, people, send in their stuff and request to support her. And my management sent some stuff in, and this is what I think in my head. Maybe he remembered some of the music. Thought, I remember this dude, and the name's pretty easy to stand out. And he must have probably shown, it was just a way in, so he would have gone and shown Adele some of the songs, and she agreed, I guess, and we were out on there. And at that time, we had no music out. I had no EPs out, nothing, so like completely unknown. So everyone was a bit flabbergasted, like, who's this guy that's got that gig? And but it worked out great, and it was it helped me, and I think it was nice for the overall show, because it was like not the same kind of music, but similar, from similar places, so it kind of fitted as an overall show, I think, for the audience. So yeah, it was just great. And then I'm forever grateful for Adele and her team for letting me go on that tour. And then we were supposed to do American run, but unfortunately she fell ill, and so we missed out on that. So this would have been like, I would have been to America beforehand, but yeah, she fell ill with her throat, so we missed that. But she's getting better, which is good. I think the voice is recovered. Yeah.
So we talked earlier about how you first came to get a guitar.
Yeah.
And the early music that you listened to and spent time with, and the sort of breakthrough moment listening to Otis Redding and that sort of thing. But take me back to the point where you were embarking on writing your first song.
Right, yeah.
That made you feel like, hey, this is actually feeling good to me, and that you were in a comfortable place as a songwriter.
I mean, it was... songwriting is a weird thing, because I don't know, sometimes the most comfortable I feel is when I'm playing some of the songs. But in terms of writing, each one, like... there's always that kind of, with every new song, it's always like, is this one any good? So sometimes it's a bit uncomfortable sometimes, but I think the time where I wanted to do it and was just really like, I used to listen to, around the same time as I was reading, I used to listen to songs and I just kept wanting to repeat songs that I liked, to the point where it just kind of got annoying to like family members or whoever's in the car. But I just liked it was like songs kind of gave a feeling that was different to anything else. And around the same time of discovering people like Otis Redding, I discovered an album called Free Willy Bob Dylan, Bob Dylan's second album, and I heard Don't Think Twice Is All Right, and I just didn't know that a song could do that. It was just like, I remember listening to it, I was going to sleep at a friend's house, and it came on, and the album was playing, and it was just like, it was perfect, because obviously I was going to sleep, so you can just, the story that he was writing just was so like clear and vivid. I loved like the guitar picking, so it was like another, it was a twofold thing because I loved the guitar too. I'm very much into the guitar as well as songs and singing. And it just was like, man, I didn't know, you know, songs could do that. It was just like really cool. I was like, I would love to have a crack at that and be inside that feeling and be able to bring out that myself and make a record. And it was around that time I started to like fiddle and on the guitar and start writing little songs. And that's why I like playing the acoustic and why a lot of songs have like guitar picking. I think by osmosis is just, I'm still trying to recreate that. And so I think around then I started to write a few little songs, and then, but it was really around 2021 where I showed some demos to some friends and I'm like, man, this is good. And but I wouldn't do any gigs at the time because I thought it was a bit of a long shot. Everyone's doing open mics, everyone's doing something. I thought, I like the feeling of writing songs.
On those demos, were some of those songs the songs that we're hearing today?
We haven't played any of those from those demos, but there's one song that's carried actually that far, which is the next song I'm going to play actually.
Okay.
That one song carried. And yeah, this demo, a friend of mine heard it and she's like, this is a good song. And I love the song and I loved recording it and stuff and playing it. But I thought maybe, you know, I'll give it to a singer. Just who's already got some clout to go on, and but they were like, man, you should sing them. And we did a gig and loads of friends came around, and I was pretty nervous, but it was a great feeling. And
this was only like a year and a half, 2 years ago.
This was like two and a half years ago. I just, you know, I was nervous to the gig, but I loved it at the same time. And I showed as well some of the songs to some friends who helped me play on the day, so I could see that it was working because people who were into music were like, I'll play, and people came and listened. So I figured, you know, this is a great feeling to play, and people had a good response after the gig. So from then on, that was when I thought, yeah, I'm going to keep writing songs and I'm going to try and be a singer-songwriter, because that was what I secretly wanted to do all the time. I didn't know how you could do it or didn't think it was possible. So yeah.
And at some point, you know, you had an opportunity to put some of these songs down, to record these songs.
Mm. Yeah. So it was like, so, you know, I was recording songs on my guitar on my laptop through just like an internal mic. And then just to see, I saw an advert on MySpace and someone was looking for musicians and songwriters and stuff like that. And at that time, I was trying to be a guitar player. I was trying to still be a musician, but I was just trying to be a guitar player playing for bands and stuff. But it's kind of like dead end, and I wasn't able to play the music that I wanted to play. Everyone, you know, there was no opportunity. So I saw this advert, thought maybe I can get involved behind the scenes, and it means I get to still play guitar but write songs and stuff. So I sent over some music to him, just really to see if he liked the songs. And that was also another moment where I thought I should start singing them myself, and he emailed back quite quickly, which was great. And saying I like these what you're doing. These are nice songs. Well, some of them he liked, some of them others weren't as good. But he liked generally the potential. And he said, "Have you thought of singing them yourself?" I was like, "Not really, but I'll do it." You know. And then we went to his little studio, and it was in a place called Weybridge, outside London. And I really enjoyed a bedroom studio. I really enjoyed these little sessions. And that was where I recorded the first kind of, well, I'd recorded some demos before that, but that was like the first kind of time where I was like engaged and wanted to take it further. And that was, yeah, that was good.
And who was this guy?
This was a guy called Jamie Scott, who's also a singer-songwriter himself. I haven't seen him for years. I don't know what he's up to at the minute, but he was very supportive and encouraging. And he was, the main thing is he's a good singer as well, so I was quite strict with that. I was like, well, I want to sing the songs properly. I don't want to blag these. So it was quite nice to have that kind of approval, and he kind of guided me through. But you know, but then there was quite a bit of time between some of that stuff and to really try to, you know, go for it as an artist full time. But that was definitely a big seed that was sown.
So then take me from the point where you had these first real demos, I guess.
Yeah.
To the point where you met with Paul Butler, who produced the recent sessions that we're hearing.
That's right, yeah. So there's a bit of time in between those two, about a year and a half or something. I'd done some other demos and written some other songs by then. and I'd met my managers, management by then. So I was like really involved in this singer-songwriter thing. So we were looking for a place to record more demos and try and develop a studio and begin to start recording more material and seeing where we're at in terms of being able to record an album and stuff like that. So I got shown some of Paul's band's recordings. He's in a band called The Bees.
Which we love.
Yeah, they're good stuff. And I really liked the sound of those records that they'd made. It reminded me of all the stuff that excited me about music. So I was like, I'd love to go and work with him and check that out. So we went down to, he lives on the Isle of Wight, so we got in contact, sent him some of the demos. He liked what he heard, some of what he heard, and we went down and started doing really kind of basic demos down at his studio. And at the time when we first met, it was only a couple of days here and there. There was no plan for anything specific, but we were there kind of working hard, and I had like a lot of grind to do in the studio, and we had to figure each other out, but we weren't working like steadily for weeks on end. It was like very sporadic, but each time was positive. And then we started, we kind of hit it off, and we worked out how to get the best out of each other, and then we decided to just keep working and flowing on, and we still see each other and make music and together, and sometimes even plays live occasionally if he's around on percussion or whatever. So yeah, he's a big part of this record and these EPs and my growth as a musician.
What's really striking about the initial song that we started playing on KCRW, mm-hmm. Tell Me a Tale, I mean, there's an element to it that's a very familiar sound,
yeah.
With sort of Temptations bass lines,
yeah.
and that. But, when we found out that you were from London and had, African roots,
yeah.
And we're hearing sort of these West African horns,
yeah.
in
yeah.
the track,
yeah.
it just made me really curious about how you settled on what the proper, backdrop was for these songs you were writing,
because
you do have some things that are more on the more straight acoustic.
That's right. And
so I'm sure there were some conversations about about how to couch these songs.
Well, yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, Paul was a big, the good thing about working with Paul for me was that he saw that the kind of rhythmic side of my music and he's into that. It's like his thing is, I think where we started to kind of hit it off is that I learned that he just likes playing drums, he likes rhythm, and he likes a good groove. That's where he really, that's what he loves musically, and he could see that within the playing, even in the stripped down songs. He's like, well, we need to bring this stuff out. This is good. Don't hide that stuff. Mm. And that's definitely within kind of the way I feel music is always kind of got, even if it's slow, I always like it to have some kind of groove to it. And so when we started working on pieces of music, we started to concentrate on that, and we'd go in and do takes with like myself and him together, and he'll play the drums. And so as I got more confident, because I was quite worried, by that point I was mainly writing songs just me and the guitar, so to have kind of lush full production at the time was pretty daunting. But he was like, no, it would be fine. And that's how Tell Me Tale came about. I'd written the song, and I'd written the song in mind to try and do more of that kind of thing, because I realised there's nothing to be scared of, and I love that kind of music. And we just started putting the piece together. So we did the guitar part and the vocal and the drums and we were all very excited. Like, we had everything that we liked, like from jazz to kind of Afrobeat. And then the flute was kind of like, Paul had shown me David Axelrod, and we were stuck on the tune. And David Axelrod's got loads of tunes where the flute does the melody line. So I said to Paul, like, we should have the flute doing the melody line over the verse. It'll keep it, it'll hook it together. I thought, oh, that's a good idea. And so I sang this line through, got some guy to play the flute on it, and then so this is getting somewhere. And then he also, what Paul was good at with me, he's also encouraged me to play more instruments in the studio. So I went in and did like the bass and electric guitar takes and piece of the keyboard. So more of that rhythm came through. And then towards the end, Paul had the idea to do that baritone line, which is that kind of very Fela Kuti West African influenced thing. And we had gone quite far into the song by that point. So, it was sounding good, sounding nice at that point. And he just said, oh, we should have this horn line. He just played it in the control room. It's like, it sounds good. And he went and did it, and we doubled the horns, and it was like, that sounds good. And we put the strings on at the end because we needed to tie the verse and the chorus, and I thought this little string line, and it worked. So it was the decision came to do that kind of thing through just being free, like, it was really poor. He just let it, you know, it was always there for me, but I was just a bit worried to do it, or I didn't know maybe I could pull it off. But he definitely allowed me to bring that stuff out in my music, and just basically was the catalyst for me to be a bit braver and go for it. So we decided that through just trying to get something sounding fresh and good and to excite each other, and that's how we got those sounds, really. Just we wanted to excite ourselves musically together, and that's how we had to go that far. And it was great. And then that really, from then on, we really started to sail through, and sessions started to get really fun and good. And there's loads of cool surprises as well for that people haven't heard yet that they'll hear. We've loads of stuff from like folk influences, Brazilian influences here and there.
Nice.
And then the soul, loads of the soul influence and jazz. I'm a big jazz fan, so loads of that. And then the folk thing too. And so, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. You're hearing the voice of Michael Kiwanuka, who's in the studio with us here at KCRW, and Chris Derides. And what he's describing is a track that's going to turn up on the album,
yeah,
full length, which is coming March 27th, 2012. So, it's produced by Paul Butler, who we've been talking about, who is the man behind the Bees, a band that we have championed here at KCRW over the years.
Yeah.
And sounds
also,
like it was...
Sorry to cut in, but I also add in, he also did... I don't know if you've played him, but he also did the Revenge of Banhart album a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So that's another thing.
Indeed.
I just thought I'd plug that one in.
At the moment, there are a couple of EPs that you can find from Michael, and there's a third EP that's coming out on January 1st. It's the Home Again EP, that's also going to be the name of the album.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's right. I don't know, I don't know whether that was like intentional or overseen, but it was always going to be the title of the album, and then it was the title of the EP, and I thought, well, we've done it now. So, yeah.
Well, in closing, what must your parents think of all this?
Yeah, I mean they're enjoying it. I mean, in fact, I got a text from my mum this morning. I mean, it would have been, I don't know what time it would have been. It would have been the evening for them, and she just heard like a tune on the radio, and she's just, every time something like that happens, she's just like, "Well, this is insane. This is weird." So she's happy. She's really happy, and my dad is. But like for me, like it's just everything's new and exciting, and we're just having a good time. And I'm just really feel really happy and honored to be able to play music and be like here, and all this stuff is just great. I mean, it's any boy's dream if he wants to be a musician. I mean, you know, when I first did those demos, I didn't think I'd be sitting here. So yeah, it's great.
Excellent. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks very much for having me, Chris.
Truly a pleasure for us to welcome you to the studios.
Thank you.
And we wish you the best of luck.
Thanks very much.
And look forward to the full-length release coming in March.
Well, thanks very much for having me.
Absolutely.
Playing the music.
It's Michael Kiwanuka in the studio. He's got Peter Randall on bass in the studio as well. You guys are going to close with a song as well. And this is, I think, Home Again, isn't
that's
it?
That's right. Yeah.
Michael Kiwanuka, I'm Chris Derides. You're with KCRW and KCRW.com. We're getting a live in-studio performance.
Home again, home again. One day I know I feel home again. Home again, home again. One day I know I feel strong again. I lived well. Many times I've been told, all this talk will make you old. So I'll close my eyes, look behind, moving on, moving on. So I'll close my eyes, look behind, moving on. Lost again, lost again. One day I know our paths will cross again. Smile again, smile again. One day I hope to make you smile again, and I won't hide. Many times I've been told, speak your mind, just be bold. So I'll close my eyes, look behind, moving on, moving on. So I'll close my eyes, and the tears will clear. Then I'd feel no fear. Then I'd feel no way. My paths would be made straight. Home again, home again. One day I know I feel home again. Wrong again, wrong again. One day I know I feel strong again. I lift my head. Many times I've been told, oh, this talk will make you old. So I'll close my eyes. Look behind, moving on, moving on. So I'll close.